In today's news headlines, House members questioned federal health officials on Friday about the United States' response to the coronavirus pandemic as the death toll continues to rise precipitously. The nation's top infectious diseases specialist, Dr. Anthony Fauci, who is focused on scientific research over political concerns, thereby earning President Trump's ire, was among those being questioned. Congressman Jamie Raskin asked Dr. Fauci why the U.S. had failed so badly to bring the virus under control where most other nations were doing a lot better.
Deaths from it. China, which of course is much larger than the United States, has lost 4,661 people. We've lost 153,000 people. Our rate of death is 36 times higher than China, and on and on. Do we have the financial resources and the scientific expertise in America to do what other governments have done to bring the infection rate down to something manageable so the end is in sight of this nightmare?
I believe we do have the tools, and certainly there's been a considerable degree of financial investment.
So what is the difference? Why are all of the other countries defeating the disease and we're not? Why do we not have a plan, a strategy for victory to win, to beat COVID-19?
Is that when you look at the comparison between Asia and Europe, as is shown by the chairman's poster up there, that when they shut down to the tune of about 95%, getting their baseline down to tens or hundreds of cases per day.
So,
whereas when we did it, we got it down, but unfortunately, our baseline was 20,000 a day. I think there was such a diversity of response in this country from different states that we really did not have a unified bringing everything down.
Yeah.
That's Dr. Fauci responding to Congressman Jamie Raskin. The Republican approach to addressing the grim death toll is to suggest that hospitals are inflating the death toll so that they can get more funding. GOP Representative Blaine Lutkemeyer asked CDC Director Robert Redfield about this issue. Redfield, who has shown greater willingness to show fealty to Trump, agreed.
For instance, as long as you have COVID in your system, you get to claim it as a COVID death, in which means you get to get more money as the attending physician, hospital, whatever.
Thank you, Congressman. I think you're correct in that we've seen this in other disease processes too, early in the HIV epidemic. Somebody may have a heart attack but also have HIV. The hospital would prefer the DRG for HIV because there's greater reimbursement.
That's CDC Director Robert Redfield claiming that hospitals are faking the high coronavirus death toll of 153,000 people in order to get higher levels of reimbursements. Meanwhile, the new system that the Trump administration mandated to track COVID-19 infections by requiring hospitals to report deaths via an online system instead of directly to the CDC is supposedly riddled with problems. Experts say it is rife with inconsistencies and errors. In spite of the mounting COVID-19 death toll, Trump continues to push for children to return in person to schools in the fall, saying bizarrely and without explanation, quote, keeping them out of school and keeping work closed is causing death also. During his Friday House hearing, CDC Director Robert Redfield echoed Trump, saying there would be, quote, significant public health consequences if schools stayed shut. When asked if he could offer any assurances that reopening schools would be safe, Trump said, can you assure anybody of anything? The Trump administration has focused most of its effort on marshalling biotech companies to develop a vaccine rather than on mitigation to stop the spread of the virus. When asked about an effective and safe vaccine, Dr. Fauci said about the vaccine being developed by Moderna that, quote, one can never guarantee the safety or effectiveness unless you do the trial, but we are cautiously optimistic this will be successful. The federal government just signed a contract with European drug manufacturers Sanofi and GlaxoSmithKline to the tune of $2.1 billion for a vaccine, the most expensive such contract so far. There is no vaccine, and as Americans continue to get infected and die, the CDC has now projected that the death toll from the virus is likely to hit 180,000 by August 22nd. At a CNN town hall meeting on Thursday night, Dr. Fauci explained that mitigation efforts were critical to preventing more deaths and that, quote, we need to pull out all the stops to get it down to baseline and to keep it there by doing the things that we've been talking about, that I've been talking about, consistently. He added, quote, if we do that, then I think we will be well towards seeing this under control. If we don't, then we can't make a prediction about how long this will last. Those state governors that took early and strict action to prevent the spread of the virus are seeing greater levels of political support among their constituents, as per a new poll. Ohio's GOP governor, Mike DeWine, who earned the ire of his fellow Republicans for strict measures, enjoys the highest approval rating at 75%, with Michigan's Gretchen Whitmer, a favorite target of Trump, at the second highest rating of 64%. In Florida, the new epicenter of the disease, a local newspaper has pleaded with Republican Governor Ron DeSantis to take stronger actions, saying in an editorial, "We're dying here." The states of Florida, Arizona, and Mississippi all saw record one-day increases in deaths on Thursday. Where prison populations are concerned, New Jersey's prison death rate is currently the worst in the nation, as the state now considers releasing up to 20% of the prison population. Meanwhile, as the $600 a week in unemployment benefits from the CARES Act expired on July 31st, rather than work overtime to ensure no break in income for millions of jobless Americans, the Senate, under Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, went home on Friday for a three-day weekend. In other news, Darren Wilson, the Ferguson, Missouri police officer who shot 18-year-old Mike Brown in 2014, sparking the first mass wave of Black Lives Matter protests, is apparently going to be escaping accountability. St. Louis prosecuting attorney Wesley Bell announced on Thursday that Wilson would face no charges in a case that has dragged on for years. Bell claimed it did not mean Wilson was exonerated. In Austin, Texas, the armed driver of a car that barreled into BLM protesters last weekend, killing an activist named Garrett Foster by gunshot wounds, has just been identified. The shooter is Sergeant Daniel Perry, an active duty Army sergeant who was driving his rideshare vehicle when he killed Foster. Perry, who claimed he shot Foster in self-defense, has not been arrested, even though he appeared to ram his car into protesters. Federal officers have now apparently withdrawn from Portland, Oregon, after weeks of violent confrontation outside the city's courthouse. On Thursday night, a peaceful evening of protest without any confrontation with police ensued. But Acting Homeland Security Secretary Chad Wolf says that federal agents will remain in Portland until he can be sure that Oregon Governor Kate Brown is able to keep protests peaceful. Most reports have documented federal agents as the largest source of violence, not protesters. In election news, there are reports of deliberate mail backlogs in the U.S. Postal Service in order to undermine voting by mail. According to the Washington Post, the U.S. Postal Service is experiencing days-long backlogs of mail across the country after a top Trump donor running the agency put in place new procedures described as cost-cutting efforts, alarming postal workers who warned that the policies could undermine their ability to deliver ballots on time for the November election. Trump has attempted to cause confusion in the November 3rd election and defended his Thursday morning tweet calling for the election to be postponed, even though he has no power to do so. Meanwhile, Kayleigh McEnany, Trump's press secretary, said on Friday morning without a hint of irony that the China-backed Hong Kong government's decision to postpone elections was an affront to democracy. And that does it for our news headlines today.